Chapter 14. Dead Rising. Caius Valerius was busy attempting to contact his regimental officers, so at first did not notice the fighting had stopped. He was absorbed by the hissing quiet of open vox channels that carried no words. The chatter of his regiment shifted quickly from the organized relays of report and command to panic, screams, then nothing. At Caius's command, the Voxmaster tuned the company nuncio set up and down the frequencies. "What's happened? Any word?" asked Valerius. The Voxmaster, his face set with concentration, shook his head. They tried their own ships first. They too could not make contact with the cohort. Caius listened as the Voxmaster tried each company command, then each section command of the Therian cohort on Zenith 312. The Voxmaster repeated the same words to every section before moving on to the next.
Section 892, this is Therian Command, give status, he would say,
before the brittle click of the nuncio set moved him to the next section, then the next. Click.
Section 893, this is Therian Command, give status.
A million serpents hissed. Click.
Section 894, this is Therian Command. Give status.
Static, soporific, yet sinister.
A viral agent. It's killed them all, said the Surgeon General. I've never seen anything like it.
Click.
Section 895, this is Therian Command. Give status.
Be quiet, Cordalus,
said Caius, more harshly than he intended. He was intent on the Vox, hoping that others had survived. The Voxmaster moved the dial on. Click.
Section 896, this is Therian Command, give status.
The Voxmaster's face became grimmer with each repetition.
My advice to you, Prefector, is that we immediately withdraw, said the Surgeon General. If the agent gets in here...
Not until we are ordered to by the Primarch, said Caius.
Did he sanction the release? Could this be our weapon?
Asked the Surgeon General. Caius shook his head.
Phosphex, rad, and viral weapons have little favour with Lord Korax. They are too indiscriminate.
A final click. The final section.
Section 900. This is Therian Command. Give status.
The Voxmaster pulled his Voxphones from his ears and looked up wearily.
That's it, sir. All of them, no response.
Caius nodded. The Voxmaster flicked the nuncio to receive. Silent channels shushed them.
They're all dead, then, said Cordalus.
It was then the command unit noticed an ominous stillness. Altogether, as if they had been entranced by the Voxmaster's calls and had to listen to a set number of repetitions before being released.
Sir,
said his ensign. Caius looked at his feet. The deck no longer shook to the beat of war's drum.
The guns, they've stopped, said Melontius.
There's nothing coming in from the outside either. The fleet has ceased firing on the city. Get me Legion Command now, said Caius.
Who?
Asked the Voxmaster.
Anyone,
snapped Caius. Anyone was easily found. The sleety whisper of dead channels was replaced abruptly with the crackle and bang of bolt weaponry. The sudden change made all the men in the observation deck jump.
This is Caius Valerius of the Therian cohort. Who am I speaking with?
Captain F.A. Delis.
The response was terse. The captain had other things than conversation on his mind.
I am surprised you are alive. The ventilation systems are inactive in our section.
The captain grunted. Incoherent howling, muffled by a ceramite helm, broke apart under the hammer of bolt noise.
I thought the fighting had stopped, said Caius. I require a status update.
The city is a loss, said Captain Delius.
He was panting with effort. The sound of combat moved away from him a little. The noise of moving power armor stopped as he came to rest.
The tyrant Agarth released an animaphage into the air systems. Everyone's as good as dead, reduced to animals. The whole city's turned against us. The Legion is scattered. We are surrounded on all sides.
A chilling scream cut across his voice, forcing him to shout.
And the Imperial Army? You're the last of it,
said the captain.
My apothecary says the phage will burn itself out, if it hasn't already. But those affected by it are everywhere. Stay where you are. You will not be able to hold them back. There are too many.
Another roaring, bubbling scream. A gunshot.
Good fortune, Prefector.
Captain F. Edelius severed the link. Several more connections were made. All told the same story. Raven Guard legionaries trapped by mobs of ravening citizens. Instead of an army of a few thousand disciplined soldiers, they were fighting a city of mindless creatures who knew no fear of death. The Legion was in uproar. The Primarch was missing. There was no guidance for the Thurians.
Terror's light, whispered Caius. Animophage. I thought it was a myth. What kind of man uses such a thing?
The one we are fighting, said Surgeon General Cordellus.
Caius looked out of the broken windows to the hangar bay. Five of his dropships waited there, leaking coolant vapors from their engine vents. Four more landing pads were occupied with debris piled up by his men.
Shut down all access to this section, said Caius. Post the boarding parties to major ingress points. Redouble effort to clear off those landing pads. Call in more gunships.
You'll be exposing more of our people to the phage if we go back to the fleet, said the Surgeon General.
But we're not infected, are we? And the captain said the virus had burned itself out, said Caius.
He glanced at a ventilation duct.
I'll not abandon the civilians. Prepare the dropships for launch. Begin plans for evacuation.
He was still issuing orders as he marched out of the room. Caius had ordered the door to the warehouse gallery stairs left open. It was a small mercy to the people held within, but probably had next to no effect lowering the temperature. The heat of a thousand confined bodies generated a steady wind that buffeted Caius as he approached the doorway. A pair of elite Thurian boarding troops in heavy carapace stood sentry. Caius was already sweating as he passed between them. The heat grew as he descended. The air blowing up was moist, scented with breath and sweat. He couldn't shake the feeling he was creeping down a great beast's throat. Another of his boarders stood watch from the companionway, a bulky atmospheric sensor unit hung by its recharging cord from his belt. His armor was voidproof, and therefore outfitted with layered insulation. It was always hot in those armor sets, Caius remembered well from his days as a line officer, even though they had inbuilt cooling systems. Today, he was one of the lucky few. Hot as the suits were, its meager cooling systems meant it was far hotter without one. Sweat burst out in a wet line across Caius's forehead, and then, like rain, one, two drops. It was flowing out of him everywhere all at once. His shirt stuck to his back, his skin flushed. He was better off than the detainees sweltering in the warehouse below. Piles of discarded outer clothing lay in drifts around the civilians. They were listless, sipping water from canteens distributed by the Thurians. Children squalled or drowsed. None played. The air was turning sour with the smell of human waste. The warehouse was equipped with two ablutorials for the warehouse workers, beyond inadequate for 1,000 people. The Thurians standing guard in the pit were worst off. They worked slowly, made lethargic by the tropical climate, as they carried buckets of water around the hall. They were in high demand, and as soon as they had emptied their buckets into canteens and waiting cups, they slouched off to fetch more. Their uniforms were soaking with sweat. Those manning the screening desks were irritable. There was a voxmeter hanging on a hook from the rail. Caius picked it up and took a breath. The air was warmer than his lungs. It was an odd feeling, like drowning. He rehearsed the words he would say before he spoke. His grasp of the local language was good, but not perfect. He did not wish to look a fool.
"People of Carinae,"
Caius's voice emerged, metallic from the hailer's horn. Echoes from plasteel walls and shipping containers turned it more inhuman still. The plastic of the mouthpiece was obscenely warm against his lips.
"The war to liberate you from the oppression of the tyrants of this system continues. Unfortunately, our plan to allow you to return to your homes has to be revised."
The people stirred. Murmurs rose.
"We're suffocating! You can't mean to leave us in here!"
one shouted. Caius continued without acknowledging the interruption.
"Shortly we will begin removing you from this warehouse to the safety of our void ships, where you will be cared for until the situation here is resolved."
The atmosphere changed immediately. A tension formed over the crowd. Caius moved the horn away from his mouth. His finger relaxed on the voxmeter's trigger. Crowds were dangerous if handled poorly. He must choose his next words carefully. He had no idea what to say. A man in long orange robes got to his feet. His two wives and a gaggle of children were bunched around his feet. He wore a single strand of beads running from a piercing in his ear to one in his nose, marking him out as a low-ranking official.
"What situation?"
the official demanded.
"What has happened?"
Caius weighed, telling the truth. Frantically whispered conversations broke up the warehouse hush. There were so many that they threatened to drown him out, even though no one raised their voice. The noise was maddening, conspiring with the addling heat to make his head spin. He brought the voxmeter to his mouth again. Honesty would have to serve.
"Your leader released a viral agent into the city. All areas except this one are contaminated. If you are to live, I must remove you. I promise that you will return home as soon as is possible."
He realized his mistake as soon as he spoke. Cries of alarm went up from the crowd.
"What? Does he mean they're all dead?"
he heard someone say. The rest was a cacophony. He tried to catch what they were saying, but their language was too fast and too new to him.
"It's a lie!"
shouted the official. He had to try several times to make himself heard.
"It's a lie!"
The people quietened a moment.
"Don't you understand?"
said the official.
"Arch-Comptroller Agarth has no such weapons, and if he did, why would he use them on his own people?"
The noise swelled again. People were shouting this time. The official held up his hands and lowered them, pushing down the noise.
"It is a lie to make us compliant."
He flung up an accusing gesture at Caius.
"They've taken the city. They're going to enslave us."
Already close to panic, the crowd began to rise.
"They're going to kill us,"
someone else shouted. The Thurians at the desks pushed their chairs away and took backward steps away from the crowd, their hands straying to their pistols. The few sentries down in the warehouse moved to join them, bringing their guns up to readiness, but not yet aiming them straight at the crowd. The Carinaeans being questioned were stranded uncomfortably between their captors and their own people.
"What if he's right? What if he's telling the truth?"
a lone voice of reason quickly lost. Caius could see where it was all going. He sped down a sickening slide of inevitability.
"Stand down!"
he shouted through the voxmeter, so hard his words growled with distortion.
"I am not lying! The city is contaminated!
Let's go! They can't stop us!"
the official cried.
"Bring them down! There are few! We are many! Open the main cargo doors! They lead into the handling area! That's the quickest way back to the residential sectors! They can't stop us!"
"Stop!"
shouted Caius. But the official was right. He couldn't stop them. The crowd lunged forward as one. Seven rapid cracks of lasfire snapped into the crowd. Those hit fell and vanished under milling robed bodies. The line of men and women hit the Thurians. The Carinaeans towered over the Thurians, and though they were muscularly feeble, they were used to moving under the city's weak artificial gravity. They outnumbered the guards hundreds to one. The Thurians were swallowed up without a trace.
"Do not open the doors!"
shouted Caius. The companionway juddered. Men with determined looks on their faces were running up the steps leading from the warehouse floor. The balcony sentry ceased shooting into the crowd and turned his gun on the men rushing upwards.
"Do not open the doors!"
Caius repeated. The boarding trooper's gun cracked sharply. One of the men tumbled backwards, head over heels, into those behind him. Children were screaming. Women huddled over their offspring to protect them as the crowd pushed forward in a single roaring mass. A yellow light spun around from the giant cargo doors. Someone had got to the door controls. A wheezing klaxon sounded. The building's short-lived whine of machinery engaging trembled the walls. Locks disengaged, and the doors drew back, interlocking teeth parting like a sideways mouth. A gust of fresh air blew in from the octagonal handling area next door. Turntables, cranes, and other idle machines stood motionless on the far side, radiating a pleasant metallic cool. Other doors leading to other warehouses stood closed in each wall. The relief of temperature change was so great that the crowd faltered. They closed their eyes and let the sweat dry to salt on their faces. Eyes opened.
"See? See?"
shouted the official.
They're lying! There is no plague!
Sir, you must leave, said the boarding trooper.
He grabbed Caius's shoulder and pushed him back behind him.
I will hold them back.
He set his shoulders, gun couched and ready, to await the attackers advancing up the switchback flight of stairs. Caius watched numbly. He was paralysed. Cold air blew up at him. He should have called the guards at the top of the stairs leading into the hangar. He should have done something, but all he could do was watch. The scene had the distant quality of an old memory, like he was reliving some trauma he'd experienced long ago. The crowd moved into the handling area, slowly at first, but when no one stopped them, they began to run. Impetuous young men first, then everyone. They swarmed around the machines, heading for a pedestrian corridor whose small mouth opened at the side of one of the handling area's great gates. People disappeared within. The first scream came a few seconds later. The crowd slowed. People at the back craned their necks. Those nearer the front backed away. A man emerged from the corridor, slamming into the line of people behind him. His screams passed from throat to throat until they flooded from one room to another, and everyone was shouting, pushing to get back into the warehouse they had been so keen to escape. The crowd compressed into a wave against the back wall, the people merging into a brightly coloured solid. There was nowhere for them to go. People screamed with their last squeezed breaths. From the corridor in the handling area, the afflicted came. They ran strangely, a drunkard's reeling. Hands flailed at the clothes and arms of the running Carinaeans, latching on firmly. When a person was caught, they were yanked back and down, disappearing under a flurry of clawing fingers and snapping teeth. Athurion rose, bloody from his earlier beating, and shoved his way through the churning crowd, only to come face to face with an afflicted and be pulled down a final time.
Sir!
The Thurion sentry called urgently over his shoulder.
Get out of here!
The men rounded the last angle of the stairs. Escape was their only goal. Caius knocked the sentry's gun aside as he fired, sending the lasbeam wide. Stirred into action, Caius shouted to his would-be killers.
Up the stairs! Into the hangar!
He activated his vox speed.
Let them through! When they come, let them through!
He had no time to wait to see if his order was heeded. Once again he spoke through the voxmeter. Screams vied with his commands. Those of the afflicted were terrible yowling grunts, the noises of animals sick with madness. A man came to a stop in front of him, willowy fingers clenched for violence, his face scrunched with uncertainty. Caius took command.
Up the stairs!
He shouted up into the man's face.
Get up the stairs! It's the only way out!
The man backed off, puzzled, then turned and ran after his fellows. No more challenged Caius.
You, he said to the sentry, pick off the afflicted. Clear a route for the civilians.
The trooper nodded. People wary of the stairway leading up to the lone small door at the top of the chamber and its armed guard now scrambled for it desperately. The crowd pulled slightly at the side as more and more of them took the stairs, unravelling into a skein of individuals. They threaded themselves up the steps. The afflicted followed. The sentry was firing as quickly as he could, charge lights on his lasgun blinking down to zero. Caius ran back up into the hangar. The sentries at the top had the fleeing men on their knees with their hands on heads.
Section 332, section 345, cover this door,
shouted Caius. Men left their tasks, snatched up guns, and formed angled lines around the door.
Get them off their knees and out of here,
he shouted, pointing to the Carinaeans.
Open all dropship ramps. Begin evacuation procedures immediately. Save as many as you can. They're coming!
The hangar burst into activity. Melontius dutifully trotted up to his master. He handed one of his two las rifles to Caius.
Prefecto,
said Melontius.
The damned are coming,
Caius said. He flipped the rifle onto its side. The charge indicator was a solid green. He marched to the end of the lines of men covering the door.
Do not shoot the civilians. I repeat, let them be. The victims of the animaphage are in pursuit. Kill them all.
How do we tell the difference, sir?
Asked Melontius.
You'll see,
said Caius. He spoke into his vox speed.
Sentry, return to the hangar.
He waved to a group of boarding troops with black stripes down the front of their enclosed helmets.
Shield bearers, take up station 5 either side. Prepare to hold and close the door on my command.
The men picked up breaching shields, neatly stacked at the side of the hangar, and waited tensely by the door. More Carinaeans ran out of the stairwell head. They faltered at the line of guns.
"Move!"
screamed Caius.
"Into the ships!"
Other men joined in his exhortation, in a mixture of Gothic and mangled Carinaean. People were piling out of the stairhead, shunting the first arrivals into motion. Caius pressed his las rifle into his shoulder and counted the fleeing men, women and children as they passed. 50. 100. A flash of white armour appeared in the rush of multicoloured robes. With relief, he saw the sentry had made it out. Command's greatest burden was ordering men to lay down their lives. Another 10. Another 20. Caius urged them on with his mind as he waited, finger on trigger. Beckoning officers directed the running Carinaeans out past the firing line to others who guided them onto the nearest dropship. It was close to full. Turbines whined, building speed. Then the noise of their spinning was lost to the whoomph of ignited plasma jets. His men were filing aboard their transports. The first lifted off, hot backwash scorching Caius's neck. It slid out through the atmospheric shielding and turned into a steep climb relative to Zenith 312. Seamlessly, a replacement came into the hangar, turned on the spot and landed, its ramp already extending from the rear. The engine nacelles vibrated with continued output, running hot for a quick getaway. Another ship took off, not quite loud enough to mask the desperate cries sounding up the stairs. A few more of the willowy natives of Zenith 312 lunged into the hangar, their faces white with terror at the death snapping at their heels. A tide of afflicted Carinaeans burst through the door after them.
"Fire!"
roared Caius. His words were lost in the scream of dropships, but his men were already shooting. The narrow triangle of space delineated by the Thurions and the hangar's wall lit up with ruby beams. They were short-lived, almost gone before they registered on the eye, but so numerous they made a flickering interlay on the air, as if a divine artisan were in the process of weaving threads of light. The afflicted tumbled down, smoking holes punched through their bodies.
"Section 345, withdraw!"
Caius shouted, so loudly his throat hurt.
"Shield teams, force brace, push them back and force the door closed! Section 332, cover and assist!"
Were it not for the terror of the situation, Caius would have paused for a prideful moment to watch his men act with perfect discipline. Section 345 peeled off, still firing. Half of Section 332 advanced in a double line. The shots of all focused on the doorway. The other half of the section dragged bodies out of the way to clear a path for the breacher teams, who locked their shields together as they neared the door, boxing in the afflicted, pushing them back towards the wall and doorway. When the edges of all the shields were touching, all 30 men of Section 332 ran at the shield-bearers, forming a scrum to support the boarding teams against the weight of the afflicted pushing at them.
"Close the door!"
ordered Caius. A light spun around over the doorway. A klaxon began a grunting call. The door was heavy, void-proofed should the hangar integrity fields fail, and powered by a mighty cog running in a toothed track. The door rumbled halfway closed and ground to a halt. Limbs jammed the workings. A soldier reached through to yank the obstruction free and screamed, snatching back an arm ribboned with fingernail marks. The afflicted jumped and scrabbled at the tops of the breaching shields, trying to scramble over. Those that came close to succeeding were executed by the squad sergeants. One drilled a Carinaean through the head, spraying half-cooked brain matter over the howling mob behind.
"It's not going to close!"
yelled the sergeant. Caius got to the back of the knot of men pressing against the horde. He craned his neck, trying to see over their heads to the door. The dropships were leaving. The hangar was emptying of people.
"We'll have to dash for it,"
he said. He summoned a pair of squads from Section 345, already aboard their transport.
"Line the gangway. Prepare for our retreat. We'll cut them down as we pull back. Section 332 first, heavy boarding squads after. Boarding squads, present sidearms,"
he ordered.
"Present sidearms,"
echoed their sergeants. Las pistols, inferno pistols, and a pair of las cutters were locked into place in the shield's firing loops. He wondered if there was enough firepower there to incinerate the dead. The blast would be ferocious, probably turn the corridor into a furnace, but it would likely fuse the cog to the tooth track.
If it shut, all well and good. He doubted it would.
Section 332, prepare to fall back.
Again, the commands were relayed by the powerful voices of the Thurion sergeants.
Boarders, fire!
The boarders opened up with their weaponry. Lasguns did a neat job of killing. The rest did not. Las cutters were not intended for combat, being short-range tools for slicing into ship hulls and bulkheads that required careful setting up. But when the right occasion arose, they could be deadly close-range guns. Fans of lasfire flicked out, cutting the foremost members of the mob down. Fusion pistols flash-cooked men who exploded into roars of superheated gas. Gobbets of steaming meat rained down. A spot landed on Caius's face, burning him. The door was choked with the dead. Body fat burned, liquefied and ignited from exposure to the periphery of melter beams. Black smoke bellied out into the hangar.
Section 332, fall back!
Caius yelled. The men broke from their bracing positions and ran as fast as they could for the waiting ship. The breaching squad took the full brunt of the resurgent horde. A second round of fire bought them a moment of grace and set corpses jamming the stairwell fully ablaze.
Run!
Screamed Caius. The squad abandoned their heavy shields and turned tail, revealing a vision of hell in the corridor. Scores of afflicted Carinaeans shoved their way out of the stairwell. They were on fire, their eyes cooking in their sockets, their fat running as liquid flame from their limbs, their skin sliding off them in rags. They didn't feel it, but kept on coming until their bodies gave up, burned through, and they rolled about in heat-tightened balls upon the deck before they expired. Even after 5 decades of warfare, it was one of the most awful things Caius had ever seen.
Sir,
Melontius grabbed him.
My Lord Prefector, the ship!
Stabs of coherent light scythed into the burning phage victims, knocking them mercifully dead. Melontius grabbed at his master, hustling him through the thickening smoke. Alarms blared everywhere. A female Carinaean voice announced an imminent atmospheric purge to quell the flames. It was a recording. Caius imagined the woman was one of those spilling out of the stairwell, mindless, aflame from head to foot. The ring of metal underfoot changed from the dull bass thud of solid decking to the higher pitch of the gangway to the dropship. Hands yanked at Caius, bundling him into a troop hold lit emergency lumen red. Dozens of faces, Thurion and Carinaean, stared in horror at the carnage outside. The ramp closed before the voice finished its countdown. The atmospheric shields winked out. The pouring of the hangar atmosphere into space was a slight jolt to the rising ship's progress.
"Let me through,"
said Caius, and fought his way through the crammed hold towards the ship's upper levels and the cockpit there. The way was crammed with refugees. Caius gave up trying to step gently past them and stepped on them. They were paralyzed with fear. Several were close to catatonia. Soft weeping filtered up the stairs from the hold.
"Move! Damn you, move!"
shouted Caius. Finally, he made the dropship's small cockpit. Through the inches-thick armor glass of the canopy, the void spread in every direction. Raven Guard ships lurked ahead, black on black, their grey Thurion counterparts conspicuous beside them. The guns of the fleet were inactive, but away to the upper right, the spark and flare of void shields gave away the position of the 27th Expeditionary Fleet. The cities of the Carinaean Sodality were repositioning, covered by a torrent of fire.
"What a disaster," breathed Caius softly.
The vox squawked. A badly distorted voice filled the cockpit.
"Thurion dropship, this is Combined Fleet Command. Cut engines, reverse burn. Come to a dead stop and await further orders."
The pilots glanced at each other.
"We're on a trajectory to land aboard our own ships," one said. "Please advise."
"You are to come to a dead stop now. If you proceed beyond fleet perimeter, you will be destroyed."
"We have wounded and civilians on board. We are over capacity. We need to land," the pilot said.
"Halt now," the voice said.
"They're powering their weapons."
"They fear contamination," said Caius. "Give me a vox pickup and cut the engines."
"Sir?"
"Do as they say now," said Caius.
One of the pilots handed him a delicate vox headset.
Caius held it to his mouth and ear.
Combined Fleet Command, this is Caius Valerius, Prefector of the Thurian Cohort. We will do as advised.
His eyes strayed to the instrument panels. Blinking lights warned of weapons lock. He imagined guns recoiling from their dreadful duty, ejecting scouring balls of plasma towards the fleeing Thurian ships. He would almost welcome it, he thought.
The phage has worked itself out. My men and I are unaffected despite exposure. Although I understand there can be no chance this phage gets aboard our ships, we cannot wait indefinitely. These ships cannot support this number of people for longer than...
He looked quizzically at the pilots.
3 hours, sir.
3 hours, said Caius. When shall we be assessed?
There was a short pause. The red lumens flickered on the panel. They're going to shoot us, thought Caius. This is it. All this war and service to be shot down by my own side as a precautionary measure.
Stand down, the voice said abruptly. Wait for further instruction.
They were kept waiting for 2 hours before further messages reached them. They only came because the Primarch returned.